I'm going to read a couple verses from Psalm 37, starting at verse 26. And it says, He, the Lord, is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 46. Number 46, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Number 46. Let's all stand as we sing. For prayer.
Let's pray. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you have given us. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to come out and serve you. We thank you for everyone here. We pray for the ones that's sick and couldn't be here, Lord. We ask you to be with them, help them. We just thank you for the change of seasons as we have a little bit of white snow coming down. We thank you, Lord. You've created the earth. You've created everything. And we just thank you, Lord, for the strength and health you give us from week to week. We just ask you to be the Pastor Howard that brings the message. May we be attentive, and we just thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated.
I want to welcome you this morning. Welcome to Morrow Bible Church. To our Sunday morning worship service. And it's great to see you here. I want to welcome each and every one of you that has come this morning. Thank you for coming. And we want to have a special welcome to the Davis family, Davis families. They are here visiting again from Mentor, otherwise known as Mentor. And they always visit every year. They've been at camp. And so we appreciate them being here. They're from Bible Community Church. They're in Mentor. That's how they say it up there. And we want to welcome our folks joining us on our live stream here, and so we've been welcoming them. So I'd like us all to welcome them. We're going to say good morning and God bless you on the count of three, okay? And you're going to say it nice and loud to welcome people on the live stream. And your mic is right up here, that little box. That's where you need to speak, into that little mic, okay? So ready? One, two, three. Good morning and God bless you. And we are very glad to have you joining us, those of you that are listening or watching. Thank you for coming. Our announcements this morning, I want to invite you to our evening service at 6:30 tonight. Hope that you can come and come to share a testimony, just a answer to prayer, a way that God has worked, and come prepared with one. We have a time for prayer on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. and want to invite you to pray together. Come here in person. We've also been utilizing the phone for several months now. Got a couple folks that join us by way of phone, and if anybody would like to do that, that's a way you can even just listen in or participate in prayer. Just need to let me know beforehand, and I'll bring you in on the phone there. We are planning to be out in our community Thursday afternoon at 3:30. We're seeking to reach our community around our church here with the gospel. We still have a lot of gospel packages that we made up this summer, and still have a couple hundred more of those that we're giving out. So Thursday afternoon at 3:30. And then next Sunday at 6:30, our usual evening service time, we will have the Plymouth Plantation Dinner and Thanksgiving service right after that. We're going to serve dinner at 6:30. That's the plan. And that will be served out in the foyer. We'll set up the foyer for dinner. So come at that time. And then after that dinner, we'll have a time of praise and testimony, sharing of the Thanksgiving testimonies there. We'll just be out there in the foyer as well for that. And we're going to have some pilgrims and Indians that are going to be there. The young people, the children, are going to be serving that, and they're going to be doing that as pilgrims and Indians. And we may also ask you to be a pilgrim or an Indian too, but you don't have to worry about preparing for it unless you want to. So just want to invite you to be here for that. Then December 4th, Saturday, the ladies are going to be here at the church decorating the church for Christmas. That'll be Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon. So want to invite the ladies and girls to do that. And then December 17th, we're planning to do Christmas caroling. So that's just right around the corner. The holidays are almost here. The thank offering this year, we are going to receive that, and the elders decided to put that towards the replacement of the foyer furnace. As you know, our furnace has been out for a little bit there in the foyer, and it was replaced this week thanks to Dan Wiley's company, MG Energy. They did that. And so we have heat out there now, and so we decided to put the thank offering towards the replacement of that furnace, which is about $4,000 for that. And so if you'd like to give towards that, you can use the special offering envelopes above the offering box or clearly mark your gift in the offering box for the thank offering somehow. So we'll receive that over the next several weeks, next Sunday especially, but over the next several weeks we'll receive the thank offering. As I mentioned, we will have time for Thanksgiving testimonies after the dinner next Sunday night. And everyone is encouraged to prepare a testimony. Just what are you thankful for? A special Thanksgiving testimony. And there are some worksheets for the children that are in the foyer. And want to encourage the children to take one of those and fill it out. And we'll have time for the children to share their Thanksgiving testimony in that way. And then pre-recorded testimonies can also be done. Last year we had a pre-recorded testimony segment for a lot of our folks that aren't able to come out. And so if you're watching or listening to this, we can do that. And I might ask you about that this week. Some of you folks that aren't able to come out, that can be just done over the phone, and then we can maybe hear those next Sunday. Also, wanted to just mention prayer requests for the pools here. Teresa just found out that her father passed away. She just found out this morning. He passed away yesterday. So I want to pray for Teresa and her family as they go through this time here. All right, we've got another hymn we're going to sing now. And that is number 295. Number 295. He leadeth me. Number 295.
Scripture reading today is going to be found in John chapter 20, for our visiting folks. We have it on the back of our bulletin. You want to follow along. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Let's all stand in honor for God's word, please. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.
Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni.
Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God.
Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her.
The Lord bless his word. You may be seated.
Bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come to you to worship you today. We acknowledge that you are our rock and our refuge. And today we acknowledge that we call to you and we put our trust in you. And we look to you for your help and your protection. Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins that we have through him, the access that we have to you, even this morning. And we come asking that you would help us. Lord, you know the needs of this congregation here. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick, those who are facing various health issues, those who can't be here today, and we think of them. And Lord, we pray that you would meet the needs of our hearts today. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know the things that are going on in our hearts and our minds. And we pray that you would encourage us, that you would give us conviction by your Holy Spirit, that you would point us in the way that we need to go today. Lord, we pray for this church. We thank you for Morrow Bible Church. We thank you for raising it up, for each one that's a part of this assembly. Help us all to see the role that we have and the importance of the local church. And we pray for our elders. We thank you for them and for their service, their leadership. And we pray that you give us all wisdom. Father, we do come to worship you today. And we do that as we sing to you and as we're here looking at your word and studying it. We also do that through our giving. We recognize that you have blessed us greatly. And so today we give you back a portion of what you've given to us. And we seek to do it in worship and in gratitude to you. And so we pray that you would bless this offering, these tithes and offerings, for your honor and glory, even today. We think of our missionaries this morning, and we pray that you would sustain them. We pray for the gospel to go forth around the world. Thank you for the part that we have in supporting them. And we pray that you would just help them to continue in their mission. And Father, we do pray for the spread of the gospel here. You've placed us here in this area, and we pray that you would give us boldness to witness for you. Give us open doors. We pray that you would give us those opportunities to share Christ. And we think of the people in our community here, even near to our church, and we know there's many that do not know the gospel. Lord, we pray for even believers that we've met around our area here that are not involved in a local church. We pray that you would help them to see their need to do that. And we pray that you would lead them here. And Lord, we pray for our country, the great need for the gospel in our country. Think of our state even, and the need that there is for people to witness for you. We pray that you would raise up people to go and to preach the gospel, even from our own church. And we pray that you would burden hearts for that ministry. Lord, we think of our authorities this morning. We pray for our President Joe Biden. We pray for his well-being. We pray that you would guide him and into good decisions. And Lord, ultimately, we pray that you would lead him into truth, the gospel, and that his heart would be humbled before you. We pray for our authorities here in our community, in our state. We pray that you would guide them. We thank you for their ministry in serving in those positions. Give them special wisdom, we pray. And Father, we pray that you would bless the remainder of this service. And we thank you again for this privilege of coming here to worship you. And may that be the attitude of our hearts even right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals again and turn to number 40. Hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Hymn number 40, and we'll stand as we sing. Number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's all stand.
Pardon for sin. I am born in your peace and in your love. Thine own dear friend.
may be seated. All right, at this time, some of the Davis family is going to come and minister in song. Thank you very much for that. That was wonderful. And so that was, let's see here. That was Nate, Ben, Addie, Elizabeth, Aaron, and Jack, right? Okay, got them all. We really appreciate it. Okay, if you appreciated that, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, that was a great blessing. Thank you. invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Last week we saw the visitors to the empty tomb. First Mary Magdalene, then Peter and John came running, and both of them saw that the tomb was empty. And John, the beloved disciple, stepped inside that tomb, and it says that when he did that, he believed. Verse 8, he saw and believed. That was the moment that he believed. The disciples return home, and they leave Mary Magdalene standing there at the tomb. It seems Mary Magdalene was one of the first people, maybe the first person there who came to the tomb. There were other ladies that came, the Gospels tell us, and perhaps Mary was the first one of those ladies. And last week we looked at Mary Magdalene a good bit, and the Gospels tell us a little bit about her. She was a follower of Jesus. The one major thing that the Bible tells us is that she was once possessed by seven demons. And the Lord delivered her from those seven demons. And from that point on, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8 that she followed the Lord. And she was one of the women that supported the Lord's ministry somehow. Maybe financially, maybe other ways, food, assisting in some ways there with the ministry. And then in John 19, we saw that Mary Magdalene is one of the ladies who's there at the cross. She was there. She didn't run away. All the other disciples, except John, ran away. But there were four ladies who stood there near the cross. Mary Magdalene was one of those ladies. And then, of course, last week we saw how Mary Magdalene was there at the tomb. She was probably the first person there to see the empty tomb. And we saw how, Mary could have found an excuse not to go visit the tomb. How was she going to deal with that stone? Did she have some tools that she was going to remove that stone? No, I don't think she knew how she was going to deal with the stone there. But she came anyway, and she was surprised to see that the stone was rolled away, and she saw the tomb was empty. She loved the Lord. She loved the Lord, and we see her determination and her devotion to the Lord, even in coming there to the sepulcher, to the tomb. And here we see in the verses we're going to look at today, verses 11 through 18, that God does not ignore those who devotedly follow Him. God does not ignore those who devotedly follow Him. That was Mary Magdalene. She loved the Lord. And God saw that. And God, here in this passage, I think in response to that, He helps her. He comes to her. He teaches her. He rewards Mary Magdalene. God does not ignore those who love Him. He rewards them. I believe He still does that today. He rewards those who love Him. How does He do that? Well, we see in verses 11 through 13 the meeting with the angels. I think that was a way that God was trying to encourage Mary Magdalene. Look at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So Mary is there. She's alone now. She hasn't yet looked into the tomb as Peter and John had done, but now she does. And what does she see there? She sees something Peter and John didn't see. She saw two angels there sitting in the tomb. And they were in white. The Bible says they were in white. That's a color of the clothes of heaven. Book of Revelation talks about people being clothed in white. And we're told the location of these angels, one at the head and one at the foot, where Jesus had lain. There was one angel at the head and one angel at the foot. Why were they sitting there? Maybe, perhaps showing the body of Jesus had been safely guarded and no one had stolen the body. There were the guards of Jesus' body. One angel at the head, one angel at the foot, standing guard over Jesus' body. No one had stolen it. They couldn't have stolen the body. And we notice here that these angels don't seem to be seen by Peter and John. As we saw last week, Peter and John ran in, and the thing that captures their attention was the linen grave clothes and how they were placed. The Scripture doesn't say anything about angels being seen by Peter and John. Evidently, angels, it seems, are able to appear and disappear. They're able to be seen by some and not seen by others. It seems they can appear and disappear according to what God commands. And God wanted angels to be seen by Mary and not seen by Peter and John. And then notice the conversation with these angels, their question here to Mary. In verse 13, they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Why weepest thou? Was it because they wanted to know the reasons why Mary was weeping? I think probably it was a rebuke, a gentle rebuke to Mary. Why are you weeping? In other words, there's no reason for you to be weeping. Why are you weeping? Mary should not have been weeping. She had heard Jesus teach about his coming death and resurrection. And so gently they say, "Why weepest thou?" And notice Mary's answer here, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She thinks that there's been a grave robbery. That's the only thing she can think of that could have happened. Somebody came in and stole the body of Jesus. But no, we know that's not what happened. Mary yet didn't understand completely yet, even in this conversation with these angels. See how important the angels of heaven must have viewed the ministry of Jesus. See how important heaven views the ministry of Jesus. Angels predicted the birth of Jesus. Do you remember that? To Joseph and Mary, there was an angel that came and predicted his birth. Angels ministered to Jesus in his temptation and in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they are here at his resurrection. And then we see in the book of Acts, they are there at the ascension. Two angels come and speak to the disciples. "Why are you standing here? This same Jesus is going to come again," they say. See how important the ministry of Jesus is to heaven. His ministry was surrounded by heavenly angels. And you know, this passage also reminds us that angels are real. Angels are real. They are real. And may be often unseen. Peter and John, they were not permitted to see the angels there in the tomb. But angels are real, and they may be often unseen. I think that we should probably not expect to see angels on a regular basis. We should probably not expect to see angels on a regular basis. The Bible, as we see angels, shows us that they are special servants of God for special times. For special times. And their appearance in Scripture is kind of like miracles. When we look at all of Scripture, we see that miracles tend to be clustered around certain important events in the Bible. And the appearance of angels is kind of like that too. The appearance of angels tends to be clustered around certain very, very important events in the Bible, one of which is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so I don't believe we should expect to see angels regularly. If we did see angels regularly, we would probably face the danger of worshiping them. Remember that the Apostle Paul warned against angel worship in Colossians chapter 2. And you know, if we saw angels a lot, we would probably be tempted to do like John did in Revelation, to fall down at their feet and worship them. And that angel said, "Don't do that, John. Don't worship the angel." But we can also trust God, that God can send His angels in times when His people are in trouble and desperate for help. You know, God can still do that. Angels are ministers of His special providence. And in those special times of need, we can trust God that God can send His angels to help His people. There have been those special times where God has utilized angels for His people. Give you an example from the book of Acts, which was a special time. The apostles were in prison in Acts chapter 5. In verse 18, it says, "They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth." And then Peter, in Acts chapter 12, when he was in prison, it says in Acts 12:7, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise up quickly.' And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, 'Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals.' And so he did. And he saith unto him, 'Cast thy garment about thee and follow me.'" You imagine being Peter there in the prison, and an angel comes and rescues you from prison. That was a special time where God used one of His angels. The Apostle Paul was ministered to by an angel when he was on the ship. In Acts 27:23, he says to everyone on board that ship, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.'" Trust God that He can send His angels in times when His people are in trouble and they have nowhere else to turn. God can send His angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God can do that for His people. Now, don't expect to wait for an angel before you believe on Jesus Christ. Don't expect to wait for an angel before you believe on Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that angels are provided for God's children. If you want to be if you want to receive benefit from angels, you need to become God's child and believe on Him. And don't wait until you see an angel, which may never happen. It's people that are the children of God, that are heirs of salvation, that God sends forth angels to minister for. Believe on Christ and trust Him with your life. So we see that in the providence of God, He allowed Mary to see these two angels in the tomb. I think it was supposed to be an encouragement for her. And probably looking back in her life, I imagine that she was encouraged by that, although she doesn't seem to be right at this moment when she saw the angels. But God encouraged her. God encouraged her. And then we see that Jesus meets her. Jesus meets her. Look at verse 14. "And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?' She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, 'Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So we see Mary's initial lack of recognition of Jesus. Jesus comes there and he's right behind Mary there in the garden. And she doesn't recognize him. Verse 14, she knew not that it was Jesus. Why? Well, she's weeping. Maybe there was still not very much daylight. We're told that she came when it was still dark. Perhaps she was kept from seeing Jesus supernaturally. We know that others did not recognize Jesus at first when they saw him after the resurrection. Perhaps he looked a little bit different. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, remember, they walked with Jesus for some time, didn't recognize him until after. So initially, she doesn't recognize Jesus here as he comes to her. And then Jesus questions her to help her. Again, the same question, verse 15, woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? Again, wasn't trying to get the information from her, but trying to get her to realize, wait a minute, there's no need to be weeping. There's no need to be crying. And he says, whom seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? Perhaps she was not seeking for the right thing. She was seeking for a dead body. Where's the body of Jesus? But whom seekest thou, Mary? Who should you be seeking? Perhaps he wants her to reflect on that. And notice Mary's reply here, verse 15. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She thinks that he's the person in charge of the garden, and she thinks maybe he has taken the body of Jesus, and she wants to take care of the body in some way. I don't know how she would do that on her own, but maybe she would get some people and get them to help her. I don't know. You know, one thing that this shows us is that the fears and the sorrows that we experience in life may be unnecessary. The fears and the sorrows that we are sometimes facing may be unnecessary, and we don't realize it. We can be distressed about things that have not really happened and never will happen. That's what Mary was all bent out of shape about. She thinks that the body of Jesus has been stolen. Now, did that happen? No! No, it didn't. And we can do that same thing sometimes. We can be distressed and bent out of shape by things that have not really happened and perhaps never will happen. And we can let our imaginations just run wild with things that we think have happened, and they really haven't happened. That's what Mary was facing here. She was facing some unnecessary fear and sorrow and emotional distress. But notice Jesus' one word to help her. One word. He speaks her name, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Mary. Something about how he said that word was what caused her to recognize that it was Jesus. And notice Mary's word of recognition here. She says, Rabboni, an Aramaic name here, Aramaic term, title. John translates it for us, Master. But it meant a great deal here for Mary. Here we see that Jesus knew Mary. Jesus knew Mary. And that reminds us that Jesus knows his own, even at times when they have trouble recognizing him. Jesus knows his own, even when they have trouble recognizing him. Mary was one of his followers, and yet here she was. She was really having a hard time. But Jesus knew her. Jesus knew her. Jesus said in John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus knows his own, even when we might think we've lost touch with him. Mary was in that state. She's lost touch, she thinks, with Jesus. But Jesus knew her. Jesus still knew her. And here we see, most of all, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And he appeared to Mary Magdalene here in the garden. And Mary didn't recognize him at first, but then she did. He is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And that fact alone should be enough to comfort us in a lot of our sorrows. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he appeared to Mary. Mary saw him. We may struggle to know the truth about a lot of things, who people are, what has really happened. We may feel blinded and confused, like Mary Magdalene at times. But what we need to see most of all from this passage is Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And that's a wonderful truth. And it should be enough to comfort us in many of our sorrows here, if not all of our sorrows in this life. The tomb is empty. And there he is in the garden. He came and he spoke to Mary. And then we see another way that God rewards Mary here. He teaches Mary. Notice Jesus' teaching of Mary. He gives her two sets of instructions here in verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Here we see Jesus teaching Mary. He's teaching her here in the garden. And he gives her some instructions here. First, instructions about her response. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now, these instructions are not easy to understand for us. They have been explained by many different commentators in many, many different ways about what Jesus was meaning when he said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. This command, touch me not, is in a form that has the idea of stop doing what you're already doing. Stop touching me. It implies that Mary was touching Jesus in some way, perhaps like the other women that Jesus appeared to in Matthew. They fell down at his feet and grabbed a hold onto his feet. Maybe she was doing that same thing. And so she may have been doing this. Was there something wrong with this? Well, look down at verse 27 when Jesus is there with Thomas. What does he say? Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. You know, when Jesus was there with his disciples, he actually invited them to touch his body. So one question is, why did he say to Mary, stop touching me, and to Thomas, go ahead and touch me? And also in Matthew 28, verse 9, as I mentioned, it says that they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then we also have to ask ourselves the question, what does the reason mean? For I am not yet ascended to my Father. Some people argue that there was an ascension that took place here in John chapter 20. And with Mary, this was before the ascension. And then after, when he appeared to Thomas and the other disciples, that the ascension already took place and he came back. And that was why he could say, go ahead and touch my wounds. Well, maybe that was the case, but it seems like the ascension is a pretty big deal. And if there was an ascension there, it seems like the Scripture would tell us about that. Just like the Scripture tells us about the ascension in Acts chapter 1, that was a very important event. What this seems to be, I think, is that it's a prediction that this will take place. He's telling Mary that this is going to take place. The ascension is going to take place. It's still future. And the instructions here, seem to be customized for Mary. For what Jesus knew about Mary, what was going on in her heart. Jesus knew what Thomas needed, and he invites Thomas to come and to touch his wounds. But for Mary, he knows perhaps what is going on in her heart. And so he says, stop touching. And perhaps she is thinking that things are going to return to normal. Perhaps Mary is thinking that, oh, Jesus is back. I'm so glad to have Jesus back. And Jesus, knowing her heart, says, stop touching me. This isn't how it's going to be. I'm ascending to my Father. Things are going to change here in a little bit. Perhaps also she was expressing a desire to hold on to the physical presence of Christ, not to lose Him again. But she needs to understand that the ascension needs to take place. Jesus needs to ascend to heaven. The Holy Spirit needs to be poured out upon the church. And that is essential for the church to go forward. Mary doesn't completely understand that yet. So perhaps Jesus, with knowledge of Mary and of her, the way she's thinking at this time, having recognized Christ, says this to her, touch me not, stop touching me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Now, I think that instruction was really specifically given to Mary Magdalene, customized for her. But there is a way that it applies to us. And let me suggest one way, and that is that perhaps there's a warning for us here not to be too dependent on things we can see and touch for our faith and Christian life and our worship. Perhaps the warning here for us is not to be too dependent on things that we can see and touch for our faith and our Christian life and our worship. I gave a message back in September on technology. And one of the things that I pointed out in that message, which I'm sure you remember, is the importance of our focus on the unseen. The importance of our focus on things that are not seen. And that's just one thing that's important with technology. In our world today, it's saturated with screens and things that we can see and even touch with that technology. But the Scriptures warn us, and by the way, to go back and listen to that message again, technology can be good or bad. All right? That's the essential summary of that message on technology. It can be good or bad. But one caution is to focus our attention more on things unseen. Let me give you a couple of scriptures, which I gave you back in September. But 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then one passage here from John 20, verse 29. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And then in 1 Peter 1:8, the apostle writes, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. whom having not seen, ye love. We are to focus on that. And perhaps as we see Jesus' instructions here to Mary, perhaps there's a warning that we can receive that will help us as well. That we not be too dependent on things that we can see and touch for our faith and Christian life and our worship. And then the second set of instructions that Jesus gives is about her mission. Notice verse 17 again. Here's what he says next, second thing. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He has a mission for Mary Magdalene. Go to my brethren. What does he mean by that? His physical brethren? No, she goes to his disciples. Go to his disciples. He calls them his brethren. And they needed to know that the ascension was the next thing on the agenda. That was the next major event. She wasn't to go and say that he is born. She was to go and say he is ascended to his Father. He is ascending. And she was also to tell them of their shared privileges. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. He wants them to know about the shared privileges that they have with him. In other words, they're still part of the family. And think about the disciples at this time. They had deserted Christ just days before. And yet Jesus has this message. He wants Mary to go and to tell them about these privileges. They're joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8. Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's essentially what Mary Magdalene needed to tell the disciples. They're joint heirs with Christ. They're in the family of God just along with Jesus Christ. I believe that God wants to use you in a similar way. He gave instructions to Mary Magdalene. God wants to use us to go and to encourage other children of God. God wants to use you to do that. And there are times when other Christians need to be encouraged. I wonder what Mary thought as Jesus gave her those instructions. Me? Why should I go and talk to the apostles? But no, Jesus chose Mary to be the first one to see his resurrected body. And Jesus chose Mary to go to the disciples and to tell them this message. We might feel like that. Why me? Why me? No, God wants to use us to go and to encourage other Christians. There are times when other Christians need to be encouraged. Even the apostles needed that. You may need to go and remind another Christian that they are still part of God's family. Other Christians need to be reminded that they are part of the family of God and they're joint heirs with Christ. Maybe there's somebody that you need to go and to be an encouragement to like that. God is still their Father. You say, why me? Who am I to do this? Well, do you love God? Do you love God? Mary Magdalene loved Christ. She was devoted to Him. Even when it looked like all was lost, Christ was dead, there was Mary Magdalene. She was at the tomb. She loved the Lord. Do you love the Lord? I hope you do. And if you love the Lord, God wants to use you to go and encourage other Christians. And that's the same thing he's going to tell to Peter in John 21. God wants to use you to go and encourage other Christians and remind them about the privileges that they have in Jesus Christ. God rewards those who love Him. He encourages them. He comes to them. He instructs and teaches them. And probably many of you in this room have found that to be true as well. God rewards those who love Him. He rewards those who love Him. May God help us all to love Him and to follow Him with determination like Mary Magdalene. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do love You. Help us, Lord, to be devoted to You. Lord, we need Your encouragement. We need Your instruction. We thank You that You know us as Your children. Father, we thank You for these scriptures which tell us of Your resurrection. We thank You that it is true and that we can depend upon it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.